shortly. I'll go over the some test things about her test. So obviously, I think I told a few people that the date was going to be like last week, but then the voting and all that. So I kind of got I didn't account for that, or I didn't know about that at the time. So the new date for the quiz is the 24th, this month, the 24th, so that's 2 weeks from now. I'm going to try and coordinate with you guys and your parents to make a group chat or something to so that everyone can know the rules, but I'll tell you the rules right now. The quiz is open Bible, but you can't use your phone. You must have a physical Bible, so it has to be your Bible, or if a physical Bible, and you can't borrow one from the church, so none of the church Bibles. The quiz is also open note, so you can write things down in class, or when you listen to the sermon, you can use those notes during the quiz. The quiz will be about 15 to 25 questions. And I'm gonna make sure this is recorded, so if you guys wanna go on the website and look it up and re-listen to the rules. So three options we have. We're trying to make the questions a majority of this. So these are gonna be, the majority of the questions will either be short answer, true, false, or multiple choice questions. So I'm sure you all go to school, you all know what that is. Who all prefers short answer? A raise of hands. Who all prefers true or false? Who all prefers multiple choice? Surprise. Okay. So I'll try to make the test a quiz majority multiple choice questions. And that is all for now, so keep that in mind. And we are on to Ephesians 4. Therefore, the prisoner of the Lord beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called. Now, why does Paul introduce himself as, you know, a prisoner of the Lord? Anyone have an idea? Why would he introduce himself as the prisoner of the Lord? Okay, verse 2. With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. So he's talking about the unity of the Spirit and trying to keep unity among the church. But, you know, a lot of people, especially today, you see a lot of these bigger churches, they want to kind of bring everyone in. They don't want to exclude anyone, so they don't really preach the full word, because then that would obviously exclude some people. So what's interesting is that Paul says the unity, he specifically says the unity of the Spirit. So we need to worry more about not the church, not the, you know, because not that we want to be united with the Methodist or the Pentecostal churches. We want to be in unity of the Spirit. So when you go to a church, you know, of course, we are always respectful to our brothers and sisters. You know, the Bible says, whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, they are my brother or sister. So, you know, we are still brothers and sisters that can be in denominations. You know, people can still have experiences with God and believe other things. But when it comes to, you know, what's taught in the pulpit, when it comes to what we value, it has to be the Spirit. It has to be the unity of the Spirit. And of course, we know the Spirit is laid out for us in the Scriptures, as God has given us His Word. So it's going to be the unity of the Spirit that we need to focus on more so than anything else. And not just being, you know, nice to people or being nice to people, but not compromising the truth when we do that. And also as well as forbearing one another in love. And that's a big thing that sometimes does break up churches, when people just can't get along, or people don't have the patience, or people just, a situation happens and people don't know how to deal with it. And, you know, and sometimes we need to, you know, think about what the Scriptures say. That's why everyone needs to be studied up themselves, so they know what decisions to make and they can be led by the Spirit. So it's by the unity of the Spirit that we, you know, forbear one another in love. And that's what really unites us, because there's all many people who come here from all different walks of life, many people who maybe come from different countries, people who, you know, different cultural backgrounds, different states maybe, but we're all here because we desire, you know, to get closer to God, and that's the spirit, that's the unity of the spirit, that no matter what walk of life you're from, no matter how different you are, no matter how tall, short, no matter if athletic or unathletic, you know, strong or weak, whatever the case may be, rich or poor, we're united by the spirit. So that's why when you see churches and the congregation is usually going to be a mix of people, it's because it's the unity of the spirit. It's not a unity by anything else, not a unity by some overbearing, you know, structure, but it's a unity of the spirit. And we all agree that, you know, the Bible is the truth, and that's why we come together. And we all believe that, you know, it is important that each individual has that spirit living inside them. And that's what's going to help the unity of the spirit is prioritizing the word, prioritizing the unity of the spirit, and prioritizing forbearing one another in love. Because when you have a spirit in you, you know, it's going to make you love your neighbor. It's going to make you, you know, care for the people around you. And even Brother Branham said that, you know, one of the evidences of the Holy Ghost is that when you get it, you want everyone else to have it. You want everyone else to be saved. You don't want anyone to suffer. You don't want anyone to have to go through, you know, a tribulation or hell or any of those things. It's one of the evidences is that your love for others grows. And we know that in the scripture in Matthew says the greatest among you shall be your servant. So it's about serving others and having a heart for others and having a heart for the people around you. So forbearing one another in love, even when maybe situations where people don't always get along, but we're always supposed to love each other regardless. And that can be difficult, but, you know, the scripture calls us to do it. And if we want to be, you know, worthy of the vocation, as Paul puts it, then we need to adhere to the scriptures. And in verse 4, there is one body and one spirit, even as you are called, and one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and with and in you all. Now, this scripture was actually, Brother Branham quoted this scripture in the sermon Doors and Door, which is what the quiz will be on, is that sermon Doors and Door. And he quotes the scripture because he's talking about how, you know, someone will ask, are you a Christian? And they'll say, well, I'm a Methodist, I'm a Baptist, I'm a Pentecostal, I'm this, I'm that. And he said, that's not what I asked you. He said, I asked if you're a Christian. And then that answer, you know, so it's not about the church you go to, it's not about the denomination. He said, there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And people get their own ideas. And that's why, you know, Doors and Door is so important, because people will, like you said, there's doors in your heart that people don't let God in. He's knocking. He wants to be in. He wants to enter into those parts of your life. But you keep that part closed, and then people make up their own ideas. Because when there's an absence of the truth, people will make something up to follow. And that's why we as humans are driven to, you know, adapt to our surroundings and follow certain things and methods and cultures and mindsets. So if there's an absence of truth, we have to follow something. You know, if you don't know the truth, well, you can't just be aimless and wander around and not have a purpose. You're gonna have to adapt yourself to something. So that's why Brother Brennan was stressing here that it's not about the church, it's not about, you know, denominations, it's about you letting God into all aspects of your heart, all the doors, all those doors indoor. You might let him in, you might have an experience with God, you might, you know, be saved, you might, you know, get baptized, but there's more to do. You know, and that's why, especially at this church, the ministry has heavily been centered around the stature of a perfect man. Because many people believe that, you know, you get the new birth and then you're just kind of done. You kind of sit around and wait for the rapture or something. But no, we have to continue on to be perfected in Christ, as laid out per the scriptures and per the prophet's message, that we have virtues to attain to, that, you know, we might be born again, but we might still struggle with, you know, being patient. We might still struggle with having a temper. We might struggle to love one another. We might struggle, you know, for brotherly kindness and those things. We might struggle with our virtue. We might struggle with our knowledge. Maybe we don't know enough of the scriptures that we should. You know, maybe we've been going to the church, we've been sitting in the pews, we've been listening, but we're not really absorbing the information. We're not reading our Bibles at home. We're not listening to sermons at home. So sometimes people ask us questions and we don't know everything that we should know to tell people exactly what we believe. And that's why, you know, sometimes people will even, in a way, denominate the message. Well, if you're a Christian, well, I believe in the message. Well, that's good, but, you know, once again, it's about Christ. It's about the unity of the Spirit. So even people can, you know, even take everything too far, but it's about the unity of the Spirit and what the Scripture says and what Brother Branham says, and really about having it in your heart. You know, you can say, I'm a message believer, you can say this, you can say whatever you want, but it needs to be in your heart. It needs to be shown in your life and your actions. These virtues need to be displaying themselves. And someone who has a virtue inside of themselves is going to display itself in some way. You know, if you love your brother, that's going to display itself in some way. If you care for someone, that they're going to know somehow through your actions, through your words, through something, that you genuinely do care about them. So those things are important, just letting God into all aspects so that we don't stray off the word, because that's how people stray. So, you know, and life is just, it's full of distractions. You know, there's many things that we can do. There's many things that, nothing wrong with having hobbies and things like that, and other things that, you know, can take up our time, but sometimes we need to get more dialed in on the word and what the word says, and how much time are we spending, I don't know, like doing whatever your hobbies are, whatever this is, whatever that is, and how much time are we spending in the word and reading the scriptures. And this is life, you know, as Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and his words are here. His word is here. The words that he said in physical form, the words that he said to people spiritually, the Ten Commandments, the way he spoke to the prophets, the way he's moved in Paul's life and then disciples' life, even after his death and resurrection. You know, the book of Revelations, the things that have been revealed and the way he speaks to people, it's all here. So there's really nothing more important than this. And it's the complete truth. And let's go to verse 7. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, where he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended the first into the lower parts of earth? He hath ascended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So, we've been over this before, but in verse 7, it talks about how, you know, we're given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And this is where a lot of, I could say other religions, but Christians as well, get this wrong, where we think that we have to do things, we have to measure up to something, we have to be something, but it's really by the measure of Christ, by the gift of Christ. So if we rely, and of course we know that Christ was God, so we know that he is all powerful, he's all knowing, we know if we trust in him, we're in good hands. So we can't trust ourselves, we can't trust our own understanding. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, you know, there's our own understanding, but as the scripture says, we need to lean unto the understanding of God and not our own understanding. So even the ways that we think are right, you know, even Brother Branham talks about the doors and door. He talks about how, you know, people don't want to let God into their personal life because they think, oh, well, there's nothing wrong with this, or I can do a little of this, or I can drink a little bit of alcohol, or I can just, you know, I can slip a little here, and it's probably not a big deal. But it's a big deal to God. It matters to God that you're not letting them all the way in. Like the sermon says, he's not going to barge your door, he's not going to kick your door in, but he's just going to be a gentleman, he's going to knock, he's going to wait for you to receive him and to want to follow his word. So you have that desire and that you let him in. So nothing can force you open. You know, your parents can't force you, your pastor can't force you, the preachers can't force you, but you personally have to let God in your heart, in your life, so that you will follow the word in its entirety. And as well as, you know, Paul talks about the scriptures and the apostles, prophets, and the different gifts that are given in the church. And that is for the perfecting of the saints. And once again, those gifts are also to be, you know, given by according to the measure of the gift of Christ. So, and that's something that everyone needs to, even if it's not specifically a gift, but by the measure of Christ, you know, when you're talking about the virtues, you're talking about, you know, your temperance and your patience and your faith. And Brother Branham says that, you know, when you have faith, it's God's faith. When you have virtue, it's God's virtue. But like you said, like, this is my eye, but God gave it to me, but it's my eye. So it's God's, but he gives it to you. So he gives you what you need, and then it becomes yours. But ultimately, we have to lean on the gift of Christ, as the scripture says, because our gifts, our temperance, our patience, you know, can only go so far. It can't be righteous without the anointing of Christ on it, because we have no goodness in ourselves. It's just filthy rags. So we need the gift of Christ. We need the anointing. We need his, you know, preeminence over everything in our lives. So that way, it can be valuable or something, but it's by him. So if you're struggling with something, if you're going through something, if you just get angry sometimes and you can't control it, you don't know why, you have trouble being patient with people, if, you know, if there's someone that you just find it hard to talk to or just really struggle to get along with, you know, lean on the gift of Christ, not on your own gift, not on your own, you know, way of dealing, not on your, you know, maybe, not on your own, like, way of talking to people, but lean on Christ. And how would Christ handle the situation? Are those "what would Jesus do," you know, kind of mindsets, where, like, it's not about me, but what would Jesus do in the situation? And then lean on him for it, you know, because we say, "what would Jesus do?" But we're not Jesus. So we need to attain to that, though, because he has called us to perfection. He'd be therefore perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. And we'd be perfect by leaning on him and trusting in the gift of Christ. Especially when you have an experience with God, you just trust in that experience and you trust in his gift. And that'll kind of help you and lead you through. And that's what will lead to perfection. And verse 14, continuing on the thought of, you know, the gifts being given to people. And for apostles and evangelists and pastors and teachers and all those things. Verse 14. "That we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." So the gifts that is given are to perfect us and also to make sure that we're not just carried away by, you know, any wind of doctrine, any new thing, any new idea that might sound good. But we need to become perfect, you know, through the ministry, through teaching, through people who are willing to study and for, you know, a week or however long, and really try and get the message to us to help us in our lives, and to preach the correct doctrine to us, so that won't be an issue going forward. And that's why, you know, we need physical human people to preach to us. And it's not just, you know, we play the tapes all the time, which is, the tapes are good, but we need people in flesh, you know, because it comes by hearing, it comes by, you know, in leading and pastorship and in these different things, where, you know, pastors are meant to be in a way shepherds that are to guide the people and to lead them in the right way. So we lean into the gift of Christ, and the pastor also leans into the gift of Christ, so that, you know, so that everything will go according to God's plan, as according to the scriptures, the unity of the Spirit. So if the pastor is trusting in, you know, the gift of Christ in his life, that, you know, he's there for a reason, the ministers, the deacons, everyone, the congregation, every individual, you're just trusting in the gift of Christ and praying for leadership and praying for these things. And that's why those roles are important. And that's the purpose of the ministry, to perfect us and to help us and to help us grow up into, you know, mature Christians. And that's really what it is. It's for the perfecting of the saints, because, you know, we use the born again analogy a lot. Of just being born again. And when you're born again, you know, and Brother Brandon even talked about how, you know, it's when you're born again, you're a baby, you're small, you're little, you're very much, you know, as the scripture says, you could be drawn to either way or another. You could be carried by a wind of doctrine because you're very a young believer and you just got the new birth maybe, or maybe you just got an experience with God and you just want to learn more about it, and then maybe you run into something a little strange, it's maybe off the word. But we need people who teach the correct doctrine so that people can be raised up. You know, just like when you were a child, your parents had to take care of you and raise you up and feed you and give you what you need to survive until eventually you can live on your own, so that, you know, because even in the natural, it's like you, that your parents want to develop you and help you to, you know, become your own person, so then you can think for yourself. And then when people, you know, come up and say things to you, that they can't just lie to you and deceive you and you know, maybe scam you or whatever the case may be, but you'll have enough knowledge or intellect to take care of yourself and protect yourself if something were to happen, that you don't need to cry for your mom and dad because you're grown up now. And the same with the spirit is that, you know, when you're a young believer, you may not understand everything, but you just have a desire for God. And we need people who, you need well-intentioned parents or pastors and preachers and ministers and evangelists and all those things. And in a way, those people are like our parents because they're supposed to raise us up in the word accordingly with the correct gospel. And, you know, doing the best they can for us, which is the same thing as our parents do. So it's that same concept of raising you up and having mature people who really study and really know what they're talking about and really know the doctrine and really just genuinely preach it the way it's revealed to them in the way that, you know, is according to the scriptures and the unity of the spirit, that it will get to you and it'll help you grow as a Christian. And verse 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So even with these gifts, even with the knowledge and the wisdom to apply it, you still, the truth must be spoken in love and not, you know, maybe in too harsh of a way, or maybe, you know, soften your approach, or the way that, you know, different preachers have different styles, but regardless of like the preaching style or whatever the case may be, they need to be doing it in love so that you'll get it, so that you'll come to revelation, and so that they want to see you grow as a Christian. They do it for your good. In verse 16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We're all part of the body. We all need to mature in our own ways and tell the truth in love. And that we will edify ourselves in love. It's because we're all part of the same body. So God bless you.